Captain Fyodor Ilyich Alexandrov commanded the 265th Motor Rifles Divisional Reconnaissance Element. The division was supposed to have a full battalion for this task, but he was all they had. And for that task, he had 8 of the new BRM reconnaissance tracks. He reported directly to his divisional commander, and also, it seemed, to the theater intelligence coordinator, some colonel named Tolkunov. That chap, he discovered, was very concerned with his personal safety. His job, Tolkunov had told him at least once every 2 hours for the last day and a half, was to stay alive and to keep his eye on the advancing Chinese. Alexandrov was a young captain, only 28, and rakishly handsome. He had a driver, gunner, and radio operator for each of his tracks, plus 3 infantrymen. The drill was for them to spend about half their time out of their vehicles, usually a good kilometer ahead of their Chinese counterparts. They were also moving in tracked vehicles and also spent a lot of their time on foot ahead of their tracks looking for Russian forces. The hardest part of their drill was to avoid leaving tracks for the Chinese to spot. Alexandrov had discussed this with his drivers, threatening to shoot anyone who left a trail. "Move now, Captain?" Buikov asked. "No, let's sit still and watch, Boris Yevgenievich." But he did trigger his portable radio. "Stand by, they're jumping again."
"Captain, will we ever get to shoot them?" the sergeant asked.
"In due course. Our turn to leapfrog, Boris Yevgenievich."
"By your command, Comrade Captain."
And both men moved out, taking care not to make too much noise until they heard the Chinese tracks start their engines. In 5 more minutes, they were back in their BRM and heading north.
"Who is Ingrid?" Tolkunov asked.
"Ingrid Bergman," Major Tucker replied. "All the dark stars are named for movie stars, Colonel." Marilyn Monroe was back at Gigansk for service, and Grace Kelly was the next one up. "Anyway," he flipped a switch and then played a little with his mouse control, "there's the Chinese lead elements."
"Son of a bitch."
Tucker grinned. "Pretty good, ain't it? Anything in particular that you're interested in?"
"The bridges on the Amur."
The picture changed immediately. It showed a total of what appeared to be 8 bridges. Tucker played with the mouse and isolated the 3rd bridge from the west. There were 3 tanks on it.
"And they can't see this drone?" Tolkunov asked.
"On radar, it's pretty stealthy."
"This capability is amazing."
Tucker nodded. "Yeah, it's pretty slick. Another year or so, and we'll be doing terminal guidance on missiles launched from a couple hundred miles away. Won't need fighter pilots. Guess I'll have to buy me a scarf."
"So what's happening there?" Ryan asked.
"The Chinese are 70 miles inside Russia. They have a total of 8 divisions over the river, and they're pushing north," General Moore replied. "They blew through the Russian border defenses pretty fast. Now they have their tanks across, about 800, with another 1,000 or so to go."
Ryan whistled. "That many?"
"The only good news is that we've given their Air Force a bloody nose."
"AWACS and 15s? Jackson asked.
"Right. Our biggest problem on the air side is going to be getting bombs to our airmen. You can use up a whole C-5 just to deliver half the bombs for 1 squadron and F-15Es, and we've got a lot of other things for the C-5s to do."
"Russian airlift capacity?" Ryan asked.
"FedEx has more," General Moore replied. "In fact, FedEx has a lot more. We're going to ask you to authorize call-up of the Civilian Reserve Air Fleet, Mr. President."
"Approved."
"And a few other little things," Moore said. He closed his eyes. It was pushing midnight, and nobody had gotten much sleep. "We're in a shooting war with a country that has nuclear weapons on ballistic launchers. So we have to think about the possibility that they could launch at us. VMH-1 and the Air Force's 1st Heli at Andrews are standing too. We can get a chopper here to lift you and your family out in 7 minutes. That concerns you, Mrs. O'Day," Moore said to Andrea. The president's principal agent nodded.
"We're dialed in."
Mrs. Price O'Day looked a little peaked.
"You okay?" Ryan asked.
"Stomach."
"Why don't you drive home?"
"Sir, I go,"
Ryan said. "That's an order. You're a woman, and Kathy tells me you're pregnant. You can't be a cop all the time, okay? Go, right now."
Special Agent Price O'Day walked out the door. Another agent came in immediately.
"Okay, General. Can the Russians stop the Chinese?"
"Sir, that remains to be seen.
They do have the nuclear option, but it's not a card I would expect them to play. The Chinese do have 12 CSS-4 ICBMs.
Any idea where they're targeted? Jackson asked.
Moore nodded.
Two are targeted on Washington, others on L.A., San Francisco, and Chicago, plus Moscow, Kiev, St. Petersburg.
Any way to take them out? Jackson asked.
I suppose we could stage a mission with fighter or bomber aircraft and go after the silos.
General, have somebody look into this?
Yes, sir.
Gennady Yosifovich, General Diggs called on entering the map room. Marian Ivanovich,
the Russian came over to take his hand, followed by a hug. He even kissed his guest in the Russian fashion.
I am glad to see you. I will be more glad to see your division.
How bad is it?
It is not good. Come.
They walked over to the big wall map.
These are their positions as of 30 minutes ago.
How are you keeping track of them?
We now have your Dark Star invisible drones, and I have a smart young captain on the ground watching them as well.
That far, Diggs said. Colonel Masterman was right beside him now.
Duke?
Then he looked at his Russian host.
This is Colonel Masterman, my G3. His last job was as a squadron commander in the 10th Cav.
Buffalo soldier, yes?
Yes, sir, Masterman confirmed, but his eyes didn't leave the map.
Ambitious bastards, aren't they?
Their first objective will be here, Colonel Aliyev said, using a pointer. This is the Gogol Gold Strike.
That's still a long way to move, Masterman observed. He looked over at his boss.
What are you planning, Gennady?
I want to take the four Russian divisions north to link up with the 265th and stop them about here.
Then, perhaps, we will use your forces to cross east through here and cut them off.
Now it wasn't the Chinese who were being ambitious, both Diggs and Masterman thought.
No serious contact yet?
Bondarenko shook his head.
No.
I'm keeping my mechanized forces well away from them. The Chinese are advancing against no opposition.
You want them to fall asleep? Get sloppy? Masterman asked.
Da. Better that they should get overconfident.
The American colonel nodded.
What about fuel?
That is the one thing we have plenty of, answered Colonel Aliyev.
How much?
At each fuel depot, 1,250,000,000 liters.
Shit.
I like the locations, Masterman said.
What's this unit here?
That is Boyar, a reserve mechanized force. It's a short division, old equipment, T-55s and such, but serviceable.
We're keeping that force hidden, Aliyev said.
The American G3 arched his eyebrows. Maybe they were outmanned, but they weren't dumb. That Boyar force was in a particularly interesting place.